Om Shanti. On behalf of all my brothers and sisters here, I'm really delighted to welcome Sister Kala to our gathering. Sister Kala is going to be sharing on the topic which I think most of us find quite challenging, is the balance of love and law. And who better to share on this topic? Sister Kala's background, many of you may not know. She is a pediatrician, a physician by training. She found Baba while she was working as a pediatrician in New York and continued to do double service for many years and then fully surrendered. She's presently based in Peace Village. How many of you have been to Peace Village? Yeah, I'm sure those of you who've been would agree with me that it is like mini Madhuban. And I've had the fortune of witnessing Sister Kala in action while there were big retreats happening there, big BK gatherings. And I have seen how she operates with such calm and such great sense of wisdom. So I'm really delighted that she's the one that's going to be sharing with us on this topic. Also, please accept apologies from Sister Santosh. She can't be with us today. But yeah, we're very happy that Sister Kala is here. So thank you. And yeah, let's enjoy this conversation.
Om Shanti. Good evening, everyone. So as you heard, my partner is not here for conversation, so you are all the ones that are going to have the conversation with me, I suppose. And it's definitely a very, very intriguing subject that we're going to be covering this evening. As a matter of fact, when I walked into the hall yesterday, was it, or day before, for the first time this season, and I knew that the theme that we are taking up is living with limitless love, I could just feel that the whole hall is filled with that. The whole of Madhuban, of course, but especially when we entered a closed space, you can feel the intensity of that. And so all of you have been taking a lot, right, from this subject of limitless love, living with limitless love. And today we're going to talk about something that is, I think, in everyone's mind. Of course, we as Baba's children who have an experience of what that could be, limitless love, even we have this question or this thought in the back of the mind, how am I going to fit it all in my life circumstances with the people that I'm with? Some of them tough, some of them difficult, some of them that you just cannot imagine yourself that you can do it all with what we're talking about, limitless love. And of course we can, right? Baba ensures us that the methods he gives us are for everyone and for all times. But this subject of law, so to speak, quote unquote, I think always comes up when you talk to someone who doesn't have an introduction to love as we all do. And it seems very airy-fairy, you know. It's fine to say, yes, love everybody, do everything with peace, this, that. But what about the real people that create problems in the world? What about all the injustice that's happening? Who's going to take care of all that if we do only love? Right? I'm sure that's a question that comes up often enough, of course, when we're talking to others. But I think equally for us, sometimes we enter or, you know, we are in a situation where I know that it's got to be love. And I have to find that missing piece of the puzzle called love, the heart-shaped piece of the puzzle. And I can even find it. And I can even try to use it, you know, to kind of apply to the situation. But something tells me that there's more than just, you know, loving words, sweet words, and all of that. And so definitely, Baba's love does have an answer. It is all-encompassing. And I believe that Baba's love actually is the perfect example of what we're talking about, which is the balance of love and law. Because why should we even bring up the topic of law? It's only because we have not understood love all this time. And we have taken advantage of this word love. Or we ourselves have been in a position of disadvantage because of not understanding what it truly means. But when I was thinking about this topic, I was really thinking that they're both love and law, two sides of the same coin almost. Right? There's one coin and there's two sides to it. But you cannot say that one is totally exclusive of the other. They both kind of rely on each other. Love, the kind of love, spiritual love, God's love, relies on our understanding of some universal laws, principles, right? And by the same token, when we start applying those spiritual laws or principles in life, what emerges from the soul is a lot of love, right? For example, even if you see someone doing something absolutely wrong, the first thing that emerges from Baba's children's hearts is the love and the mercy, right? That this person should also understand what's going to be the impact of what he or she is doing. Law. The inbuilt law, not that you're going to impose a law, but the inbuilt law in the universe that's already there. Baba comes and makes us aware of that. Because in the name of love, we had forgotten those laws. For example, we ourselves had forgotten that love is something that emerges first from inside. It's not something that comes from outside. Right? The source of love is the soul itself. For example, we had forgotten that when we share that kind of true love, it definitely comes back to us one day or the other, sooner or later. Perhaps it was back in the, you know, the crevices of the intellect somewhere. But in normal activity, we didn't really remember that. We wanted to see something immediately coming back to us. So in this way, I think some of those universal principles, because they had been forgotten, We took to believe love to be something very temporary, very instant, very superficial, as we were saying. But now with Baba's understanding, I think our, not only understanding up here, but our experience of love, as well as our experience of the other side of the coin, law, it all becomes very real, and it almost kind of comes to converge and give us that sense of what we call our sense of self and well-being of the self. In other words, when we are in an experience of love, say for example, it's a beautiful meditation and soul consciousness and all of that. But at that time, you know, you are also aware of all the laws that keep that love protected. It's actually the laws that keep that love protected, safe, sustainable, so to speak. And this is why Baba uses, you know, a few words that I can think of. One, of course, the only perfect word is Baba's love, but it, Baba says detached love. Right? So it's a love that is coming from a place of when the soul is detached from body, is stabilized in soul consciousness. And it's at that time that it's able to encompass everything, including the laws of the universe, and be very, very merciful. The first thing is mercy to the self. So I was just thinking about, you know, where does it come about that there are two different things? In other words, how did we get the idea that there are two different things? Of course, like everything else, when did they split love and law? Because in the golden age and the silver age, they were both together, right? The love was there, the law was there, the understanding was there. The way we treated each other was full of love, but also there was, it was very lawful, it was very orderly, as Baba says sometimes. It was not an erratic love, it was not a back and forth love, it was not an unpredictable love. It was all very predictable, and it was all going according to the systems and the orderliness of that time and age. But it's only later on, when the kind of love that we, you know, started to experience for ourselves and with others was out of some kind of a possessiveness or some kind of an attachment or whatever. It's only then that we started also hurting each other in love, isn't it? Otherwise, there was no causing sorrow, there was no causing hurt to each other in the name of love, at least. And today what we find is that the people who hurt us the most are the ones we love the most, right? So it's become totally opposite. So it's somehow kind of, you know, like everything else, split into two, divided into two. The love and the law kind of became separate entities. And now Baba is bringing that back again through spirituality, through a spiritual awareness, through spiritual knowledge and understanding. And so when we come to Baba and we understand, you know, the ABC of love again, because I think that's or I should say the ABC of spirituality again. And what do we learn? We learn that the soul is an embodiment of love. The soul is an embodiment of purity. The soul is an embodiment of knowledge, truth, all those beautiful qualities. And we experience that. And we say to Baba, yes, Baba, I like this. I want to live a life where I can experience this all the time. Not only am I an embodiment of love when I am sitting in meditation, but I want to be that, you know, in real life. We say to him, right? And that's why we say yes to everything that he tells us to do. And what does Baba do? Of course, yes. Baba says, you are my children. Whatever, I am the ocean of love, and therefore you're also the master ocean of love. He gives us that quality automatically, naturally. We inherit that quality. But then he also says, I am also your teacher. I've also come to teach you. Teach you back the steps of living like that. And in living like that, that's where we encounter our little hurdles, our living patterns before we come to Baba. We call it habits or sanskars or patterns, whatever they are. But they come in between. You know, we want to be an embodiment of love, but we remember something and we say, no, I can't be an embodiment of love. Because I remember this person has done this to me. Or if I try to be too nice to this person, he's going to take advantage of me. So I have to maintain my stern eye. I have to use some tough words. All of those things, right? So we even argue with ourselves, justify with ourselves that it's okay to be lawful sometimes. But Baba has a different way of describing that law, right? And what does he do? And he also says, I am your guide. I've come to guide you back to your path of love. And the guidance he gives us is, consider yourself to be a soul and always, always remember that the love that you are professing that you have for anybody else actually comes from Baba. It's Baba's love. So you really are not the source of that love, but you are really an instrument of that love. And as we know, he is an ocean, he's unconditional. So if he's an ocean and if he's unconditional, then why should I put a barrier on that? But in that process, Baba also gives us a set of do's and don'ts, isn't it? Because it was exactly because of what we did, or we did not know the limits before, and we had crossed the limits of each other, we didn't respect the limits of each other, and we call that as love. But now he's saying, now you have to respect your own limit, your own space, your own self-image, your own dignity, and you also have to respect that of the other. And within that, he gives us a set of directions. Call them sometimes Srimat. He even goes beyond that and he gives us a set of what we call Maryadas. Maryadas, living by spiritual disciplines and codes of conduct. Yes, you've heard about it? Maryadas, everybody? Yes. So Srimat, of course, is Baba's supreme most direction. And it mostly applies to do's and don'ts, for example, in our normal day-to-day living. Starting, of course, from the gross to the subtle, or starting from the subtle to the gross. And then Baba also says there are some codes of conduct as a soul that has been receiving knowledge from the ocean of knowledge, as a soul that is determined to go back to its state of purity, original state of purity, by remembering the ocean of purity. There's also certain things, disciplines and behaviors that you need to kind of watch out for each other, because that's where there can be misunderstanding, there can be misinterpretation, there can be misuse of each other's love, what we call love, right? And so for me, the law that we're talking about is these things, right? The Srimat that Baba gives, the maryadas that he lays for our Brahmin life. And sometimes within the service life or within our, you know, center life, you may also have certain guidelines that you're told about. That this is how we do things here, this is how we don't do things here. Yes? Many times. Of course we know we are a family, of course we know there is a lot of love in our hearts for each other. Whatever we do it with a lot of love, right? And yet sometimes, you know, we are told, but not like this, like this. Not this way, not that way. So of course they are not totally laws as laws, but they are the principles that actually, if we adhere to, it will help us to keep our love for each other for a long, long time. They make it very sustainable. Very simple example would be of our interaction with each other, right? How much time do we spend with a student, for example, even? Teacher is giving a class to the student, or even students along with student, they are having a little conversation after class. And it can be one day, it can be 2 days, it can go on and on and on. And it can get to be a little bit more than just casual conversation. It could turn into something that can be a little bit more, you know, familiarity. It could be more a dependency. It could be the wrong kind of connection with each other. So this is why we say, you know, just watch out. Right from the beginning, Baba kind of, you know, lays those guidelines for us. And says, yes, it's very good to converse with each other, sustain each other, have wonderful chit-chat with each other, but watch out where the line is, where the conversation is taking you. Is it becoming laukic? Is it becoming negative? Is it becoming wasteful? So for me, these are the subtle laws, right? They're not spelled out as laws, but they are Srimat, they are maryadas, they are guidelines. And they play a lot of role in our life, I think, for us to grow properly. And they help us to keep the love in a pure container of the heart, and not get it adulterated, and not get it mixed or diluted over time. So that kind of law is important, right? Now the question comes up, you know, how do you know how much of each? How much of love and how much of law or maryadas, or you can, another word for it may be discipline. You know, there are disciplines in Brahmin life that keep us safe. They are laws, spiritual laws that have been applied for our self-benefit. We are channelizing our energy in a particular direction, you know, because we have the highest aim of becoming pure. So we kind of, you know, say no to many things and we say yes to the one direction that we want to go in, which we call as discipline. We get up at a certain time, we get up, you know, we come for class, we do our Amrit Vela, we eat a particular type of food. Right? Now those are not laws as laws, but they are disciplines. But it's part of understanding the laws of, you know, spirituality too. Because on the one hand, you are saying that, you know, I'm making a lot of effort, I really want to be pure, I want to be like this. And yet at the same time, some of the disciplines we are not accurate in. So we cannot expect the same result, can we? So this is where the love and the law has to align with each other, so that we can really get predictable result. Now this is just for the self. And actually, it always starts with self, isn't it? If before I can impose or, you know, make sure that I can make someone else follow the law, it's always I have to look at my own self. Application of that balance for my own self is most important. And I'm remembering now, you know, in my days of, you know, practicing with children, for example, you know, I oftentimes, you know, would watch parents interacting with children. And parents themselves are very ambivalent about how they should raise their children, whether they should give them candies or not give them candies, for example. So on the one hand, they're telling them, no, you cannot, but at the same time, they also have a bunch of it in their bag, right? So they haven't convinced themselves that it's bad for the children. But they're trying to tell the children that it's not good for you, right? Is that going to work? Or it could be between two parents, for example. One of the parent wants the child to be brought up in a particular way. One of the parents says no to that. So within themselves, if they are in conflict, the child is going to pick up on that. So it's many times the same way with us, that we ourselves are not reconciled. Our mind is saying something, intellect is saying something else. Right? Yeah, intellect says that yes, what Baba says is right and I must follow it. But my mind is still being drawn to the old ways. So I haven't convinced myself of that. So then I'm not going to be able to get through with the discipline or the whatever part of the Srimad that I'm struggling with. So it's important to first of all, you know, be absolutely firm with myself. What would I like for myself to be? Of course, we have a vision of the long term, but we must also have a vision for short term. We must also have some steps to move towards that short term, and within that should be what part of the discipline do I want to embrace. Not necessarily you have to do everything all at once, but definitely have an aim of how to bring that element of lawful love into your way of life, lawful love, right? Or loveful law, both are, you know, play with each other. But I must also have that conviction, and I must also be firm with myself. And then, of course, I can be able to convince others or talk about it with others. You know, otherwise we end up saying, you know, I'm not able to do it because this one doesn't allow me to do it, or that one doesn't allow me to do it, or I have this obstacle or that obstacle. But once I am firm in my understanding, in my aim, in my principle, then I can be very lovingly firm with myself. Firm doesn't mean I have to be strong and tough with myself, but I could also be loving with myself in a firm way. Why? Because whatever I'm doing is for my benefit. The law is always benefit, right? There is a benefit in the law. Of course, people misuse the law, that's a different story. But wherever you see a law, usually it started from a place of benefit or protection or security or some kind of a, you know, well-being of the society. So in the same way too, I have to look out for my own well-being, my own internal strength and my own safety. So when I do that, then it's not tough. Because people usually connect discipline with tough, you know, being tough. But you can also be very loving and be disciplined with yourself. Bring that lawful element into your life. And then of course it comes to how I am with others. Balance of love and law with others, in my relationship with others. And that's a big, big subject, right? Tough and difficult subject. Because that's where I think we carry with us years and years and ages of conditioning and karma and personality and culture and a whole lot of things with us. So we have to go beyond all those barriers and just come from being in a place of being Baba's instrument, pure instrument. Even though you may not be in an official capacity, an instrument, but in my interaction with anyone, any member of the family, any friends, or even at work, I'm still an instrument of God. Right? I'm not just an ordinary person, but I'm someone very special. Baba always reminds us of the specialness of Brahmin life, specialness of this time, specialness of this task that we have all undertaken. So always think of myself as an instrument of God. As an instrument of God, how would I interact with someone? Now, one is just, and I'm just talking about anyone in general, for example, there always has to be interaction of love. Even some of us carry with us, you know, this big background, you know, or baggage with us, perhaps, that we don't know what that love means. Perhaps in our Laukik life, we have not been exposed to that kind of pure love, spiritual love, or even love as such. There's so many people in today's world that are not exposed to simple, plain old experience of family love. But it doesn't matter. As an instrument of God, you know, the first thing that I have to make sure is that I am filled up with Baba's love. I don't think the ocean of love, Father of the world, wants to hear this from us. That, Baba, I don't have an experience of love in the world outside. It's okay. He says, that's why I have come. If you all had already that experience, I didn't even need to come, but I'm here now. So always saying, let me turn to Baba first, you know. And this is where I think our preparation for the day, our preparation for any task we do, our preparation for any interaction always has to come from that place of love. Especially when you know that you're going to meet people that are going to press your button, trigger your old sanskars. Those are days that you have to even make special attempt to take extra from Baba. Doesn't have to be extra time, but you just have to put in a little note to Baba. Baba, today is my extra special day. demand from him. You know, and I'm sure Baba listens. In spite of that, I think we still have to be the ones who hold the fort of spiritual love. In other words, that people don't take advantage of love. That we are still able to share with others important things about acting properly with each other, being truthful, being honest, being with integrity and all the values, in other words. So our law, in other words, is basically sharing values with people. Because it's the lack of those values that have deprived people of that lawful love. So I'm sure anybody who is, you know, in a normal position of family and work or whatever, they have enough opportunities to share love in a lawful way and law in a loving way through the expression and expression of these qualities, values. But there are some relationships, I think, that we have to be extra careful. Like I was saying before, some are when in a position of, you know, especially within the Brahmin family, some of us have a little bit of a position of, you know, influence and over others, or may have a little bit more to handle, more of, you know, handling to do than others. And this is where they say, you know, sometimes it can say, go to this one, go to that one. They will make the choice. Sometimes people will choose to go to the one who is always on the softer side and they will not go to the other side. Or when they want something done, they will go to the one who will, you know, take their side. So sometimes, again, there can be manipulation in this. But love and law for us is, you know, you have to still be the center. Will be in the center of the folk, you know, fulcrum, and be able to judge things, you know, properly. How do you know who is right and who is not right? So as Baba's instruments, we always have to be in the center and neutral, in other words, not take anyone's side. So love doesn't mean taking sides. Love means, pure love means being totally neutral. And in that neutral state of mind, neutrality of attitude even, then you decide based on that. So it's very important not to get influenced, in other words, by one or the other. So where does love and law come in here? Because when you're in the central neutral state, That's when you are totally loveful as well as lawful. You can see what is right, what is wrong, what needs to be corrected. But at the same time, you also have the love to be able to correct it or to be able to make it move in the right direction. Right? So it's very important for us not to be influenced this way or that way. And this is why any important, you know, decisions we have to make or judgment call that, you know, we have to make, take a minute with Baba. You know, neutral, forget the situation, forget the people. Just go back to Him, that absolute neutral soul conscious stage of truth. And then make that call. And many of us, you know, we don't do that. Same thing when you have to be, you know, with a lot of people, maybe in a meeting, an important meeting or whatever. And you know that certain important decisions have to be made. Same principle applies. Don't go in preconditioned, don't go in pre-influenced, but go with that open mind. Right? And especially in relationships that are close relationships or intimate relationships or relationships that have a karmic background, you have to be extremely careful also that no one is stepping over and taking advantage. Again, as I said, you know, the closeness, the familiarity, all of those things can make you go more in the direction of going against the law or the discipline or the maryadas. So need to be extra careful with that too. And I don't think there is a straightforward answer. I mean, a straight answer for every situation. Mm-hmm. How much law, how much love, how much discipline, how much whatever. But I think it's really being in the moment, being soul conscious, being connected as a soul, being sensitive to, you know, what the soul is looking for, or being also aware of what my karmic connections are, being aware of all of that, and then decide. There was an example when there was one soul that had very, very strong sanskar, very strong sanskar, that came and started living with us and helping Baba, and would do many things against the discipline, I would say, or not in keeping with discipline, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, but also very, very strong sanskar. And everybody would say, but why aren't you saying anything? Why aren't you correcting this person? Why aren't you doing this? And you know, you have to kind of be in the moment at that time. Sometimes you have to wait for the right moment. You have to wait for the right situation. And the Dadis would use this term that you have to do it in such a way. You know, if you see a snake, you use the stick in such a way that the snake dies and the stick doesn't break. Right? You ever heard that expression? That you have to kill the snake, and sometimes you are using the stick so hard, but the snake escapes and your stick broke. You don't have another stick to use. In other words, you know, you're so strong on this person, the person falls apart, didn't have the strength or the power to take that stick. In other words, you wanted to emphasize the discipline part, the law part so hard, And you did it, and the person got totally hurt and left with a very bad impression of Baba, Baba's family, whatever. Because anything can happen, no? You know, we have to be careful with each other's feelings, and, you know. So does it mean that you allow the person to do anything every time, all the time? No. You have to move towards that place of where you can talk about these things. You know, it's not that you allow a person forever to get away with things, but every time you bring in, you know, one element, two element, you emphasize, and you always, always explain. And this is the thing that I like the best about Baba, that even though he brings law into the world, you know, where he brings a world of, you know, where everything is lawful, but he does it in such a way that we understand and we change. And it's only because Baba explains, and Baba explains with a lot of love, with a lot of compassion, with a lot of mercy. So for me too, when I think about law, the first thing that we should be aware of is, if you see someone is doing something against the law, including your own self, does the person know the law? Does the person know the result of breaking the law? Is the person ready to face the consequences? And every day's morally, many times, is about that. Baba is explaining to us every day in the morally about that. What happens if you do this? What happens if you do this? What happens if you don't do this? And he wants us to understand it. And he does it with a lot of patience and a lot of love. So the best thing that we can do to show our love to someone who is breaking the law or who is doing something against the law, I think, is to be able to talk, explain, take time to come down to his or her level and explain. Right? And his or her level means you're also willing to listen. You're also willing to, because it's just like a court, right? Everybody has a case. The person who is being charged with something also has a right to speak. So you have to let them speak. Right? The law says that they have to speak. So if I'm not allowing the person to speak, but I'm taking the law in my hands, that itself is going against the law. And first of all, Baba doesn't allow us to do that, right? It says nobody can take law in their hands. It's not a man-made law, right? First of all, nothing is man-made here. It all comes from Baba. And even Baba, he doesn't say, I have made the laws. I have made you aware of the laws that already exist. So have you taken time to explain what the person... Sometimes the person is blind to what he or she is doing. But take the time to explain and make him or her see for himself what is wrong with that. And come to that realization and then change. So I think Baba's methods, Baba's systems, Baba's ways are very unique, right? Like they say, you know, in Baba's center or Baba's service, there's no hiring, but also there's no firing. Yeah? You can't hire and you can't fire. So how are we all here? You know, we have all chosen to be here. Anytime we choose, you know, we don't want to be here, Nobody else has got to tell us, but we ourselves have to make that choice. But at least make it clear for the person, you know, what the choices are, where they are going against the border, the boundary, and where they cannot go against that border. Some things are negotiable and some things are not negotiable in Baba's home, center, service, right? We all know that certain things that we observe are very, very strong foundational principles. So of course we want to honor that, we want to adhere to that, and anything that goes against that we will be very careful. But still we don't say we take the law in our hands. We always pass it on to Baba, Baba's instruments, and let them decide. But in my own experience, what I would like to share finally is that it's, you know, it's only through experience that you really can change, you know, totally. In other words, I think everyone will have some kind of a personality leaning towards being more loveful or more lawful or whatever. I don't think there is a totally perfectly balanced personality. But we are all moving towards that, right? So as we face situations, as we face people, different interactions, then you learn that, no, I should not have been so flexible in that instance. I should have been firm, right? Because it had to do with a very important aspect of Srimad, perhaps, or you're seeing the result of how, you know, this person is taking advantage of you after that. So with experience, you can always learn and say that there is a boundary, there is an area that I have to protect for myself first. And when I do that, I'm also contributing to protecting the purity of Baba's places, Baba's work, Baba's family, all of that. So in this way, we all contribute to bringing that perfect balance of love and law, you know, making it into a possible thing soon, right? We're all in this together. So, not sure if you have any thoughts, questions, didn't want to share so much. Anything? Want to? Does anyone have questions? It's a subject that can arouse a lot of questions, I know.
Gopi from Germany. Thank you very much, Kalaben. I found it very, very round, because when you started and said about love and law, I thought, oh, maybe the law is something which goes through everything like the red thread. But as you said that the law protects the love, I think this is the main understanding of law, that there is safety, security, and also stability for us in our life. It's not that the law is first. The first is the love. And I thank you very much, because you made it very clear, and I know you are a very good example in everything of this, what you talked. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Have you fallen in love with law? That's the ultimate proof, right? That, because before we used to say law, oh no law. But law is also for us to love, you know, to love the law.
Mm-hmm. Большое спасибо. Я не знаю английского, поэтому переводчица со мной находится. Вопрос такой. Где находится Шив Баба после того, как он перестал приходить в тело Дади Гульзар? То есть он постоянно находится в тонком мире или он находится то в тонком мире, то в Парамдхаме?
Om Shanti, Sister Victoria from Russia. I just will translate her question. Actually, it's not about our today's now topic. She has a question. After Shiv Baba stopped to come to Dadi Gulzar's body, where is he, if he is in subtle world or in Paramdham or there and there, both or whatever. This is her question.
He is still the same place. He hasn't changed the address. Yeah. Okay. And we'll close with meditation if there are no questions.